This week at the Stephen Foster Memorial at White Springs, the annual 4th of July program featured an address by Congressman Don Fuquay of Florida's 9th District. This was the highlight of the all-day event on the banks of the historic Suwannee River, where Florida has built a memorial to Stephen Foster, composer of the official state song. Now, Congressman Fuquay.
Tradition teaches us that this date the Liberty Bell rang out to announce the official adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Those men in 1776 could little visualize the tremendous impact the course of history would have by their actions that they had just taken. For they were laying the very foundation upon which this land of ours was built and has endured over the many years. And today we celebrate this historic and hallowed occasion, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We must remember, though, that this was no casual act, that these men pledged their lives and their sacred honors on this very sacred document. It was a bold and an imaginative stroke by the men that wanted to be free and who were willing to give their lives, and many of them did give their lives, and have throughout the years since then, that this land might be free. And through 6 major wars, a bloody civil war, and through all manners of trials and tribulation, this great republic has endured. Think back, if you will, though, that those were not idle words uttered by Mr. Patrick Henry when the Virginia Convention in Richmond in 1775, when he said that, "I know not what course others want, but for me, give me liberty or give me death." This was a man of courage, a man that loved freedom so much that he was willing freely to lay down his life that you and I might be free. And in this world today, and we need men like Patrick Henry, for the sword of tyranny continues to hack relentlessly at the heart of freedom. Clothed with the scarlet red sickle and hammer, the threat of dictatorial communism. This is the battle of our times now. You remember those words of Benjamin Franklin at Independence Hall in 1776. So the story goes that after affixing his signature to the Declaration of Independence, someone asked Mr. Franklin, said, "What kind of government have you given us?" And he replied, "We've given you a republic, if you can keep it." How much meaning do those words have for us today? We are assailed in every corner of the globe by the forces of evil, hunger, and godless dictators and communism. But 187 years ago, since Franklin said those words, we have grown from 13 small colonies on the Atlantic coastline, clear across the continent, including Alaska and Hawaii, forming 50 great states, a nation of 185 million free men and women, with power and influence never exercised or experienced in the history of mankind and throughout the world. But this great nation of ours is not unmindful of the freedom, because it is never won in any single moment of history. It has to be won, re-won, and re-won again by each succeeding generation. Freedoms must be protected with vigilance and determination, because it is no game for the lighthearted. We've got to continue to fight and fight hard for our freedoms. I like to think of the price that had been paid for our freedom, the freedom of speech, think if you will, the freedom of the press, the freedom from want, the freedom from fear, and the most important, the freedom for man to worship God as his heart dictates. Recently, though, we've seen the Supreme Court of these United States abolish the reading of Bible and the reciting of the Lord's Prayer in our public schools. And I certainly believe that it is fundamental in this issue that the court conceived the state as being a godless state. However, I believe that this nation, under God, for God, and therefore I can't agree with the decision of the Supreme Court or its reasoning. It is quite a different thing to say that a child who wishes to recite the Lord's Prayer and have the Bible read in schools may not do so, that this is unconstitutional, merely because some other child does not want to pray and is not required to pray if he objects. I'm deeply concerned about where this decision will lead. Already a case has been filed in California seeking to outlaw, eliminate the words "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. It calls for this to be declared unconstitutional. I say that this is not a godless country. I believe firmly that because we have placed our reliance and trust in Him, we have become the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. Shortly after the Supreme Court's decision was rendered, I saw a number of television newscasts that said that the members of Congress did not raise a sharp cry of protest. In a speech on the House floor, I told the members that I, for one, was proud to raise my voice in protest. Back in January, I introduced a bill calling for a constitutional amendment to allow the reading of the Bible and the reciting of the Lord's Prayer in the public schools. I've called on very strongly the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, where this bill was referred, to begin holding hearings immediately and bring this bill to the floor of the House so all the members could have a chance to vote on it and vote their convictions. It seems to me that then we can allow the people of these United States, through the due process of law by a constitutional amendment, to rectify this mistake of the Supreme Court. Religious freedom must be protected, but this decision is religious oppression, and it was never intended by the founding fathers of this country that this should be. I sincerely hope that we will be able to bring this before the House and have a constitutional amendment which will overrule this basically wrong decision of the court. And throughout this land of ours, we're troubled with another great problem, that of race relations. I recognize that this is a most serious problem, and there is no simple solutions. The outstanding distinction between a government of free men or a socialistic or communistic state is the fact that free men can own and control property, whereas statism denies the property rights. But the so-called civil rights bill, which has been introduced into Congress, would do exactly what the communists supposedly advocate, from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs. And this was never worked, and it will never work today. The South, as we all aware of, has our shortcomings, and we recognize them, as well as other areas. But a calculated campaign waged by much of the metropolitan press and television and radio has magnified this unfortunate occurrences in the South, while crimes of violence in other areas have been minimized. This has generated bitterness and hatred against the white people of the South, almost amounting to a national disease. A man who devotes his entire life, his life savings, to building a business, in my opinion, has the right to operate that business. And my friends, this is still the law of the land. To me, the proposed law is clearly destructive of the American system of constitutional rights of Americans. I cannot support such a program which is in violation of the fundamental principles of this nation. I say again that we have our problems, and I think that we're aware of these problems. But I think that we can and that we will work out these problems, but not at the point of a bayonet or the loss of the basic fundamental rights of free enterprise. We must continue to develop our school systems, better educate the children of both races. We must discuss our mutual problems and seek common sense solutions. This problem did not descend on us yesterday and will not disappear tomorrow either. But such actions that we've seen tear at the very fiber of goodwill and make it difficult to find solutions. And these solutions will never be found by mass violence and disobedience of the law. This land is faced many challenges in the past. I'm confident that we will and have found solutions to our problems today and of yesterday, but they must be accomplished within the framework of our constitutional form of government, which is based on free enterprise and the right for each man to own and operate private property and to enjoy the fruits of his own labor and toil for that work. Across the length and breadth and globe of this land of ours, we find other challenges that, as we grapple with the enemy that seeks to destroy the individual. I speak of the communist menace. This challenge to our freedoms is not new. We have seen these challenges before. They have been sustained by brave men who were willing to give their all that the land of the we can continue to have the land of the free and the home of the brave. Not long ago, I had the occasion to visit the Tomb of the Unknowns in Washington. And here enshrined in the marble and engraved upon the hearts of every single American lie the bodies of three brave men, men who died in three great wars of this nation, and they're only known to God. And I thought to myself of the mothers and fathers and the sisters and brothers, the sons and daughters and the wives of thousands of men like these that gave their all in the wars for this nation. Theirs was a supreme sacrifice, and they knew what it meant to give the full measure of devotion, because this was in the protection of their country. Recently, we've been stunned at the loss of the nuclear submarine Thresher. We should be reminded that their loss was a sharp illustration that Americans are continuing to die today for their land. And each of the submariners sailing our vessels today, all of our men in service, not only in the submarine but in any service, know full well that they too may be called on to make this same sacrifice, giving that full measure of devotion. And lately we've been thrilled with the tremendous success of the flight of astronaut Gordon Cooper in his 22-orbit space flight. Here again we find an American willing to risk his life for this country, for freedom and democracy. I was deeply impressed when I had the distinct pleasure of meeting astronaut Cooper lately, with certainly his humility and his sense of dedication. I thought truly that here is a worthy representative of a long line of brave men who have made this the greatest land in the history of mankind. And I thought about and contrasted his remarks with those made by the Russian communist cosmonaut who said after returning from Earth that he saw no God up there. I think it's indicative of our two systems of society, where Gordon Cooper uttered a simple prayer on his 17th orbit while orbiting over the Indian Ocean. And he asked for divine guidance. And he asked for help and guidance for all so that we can shape our lives and that we might help one another and work with one another, and asking it be with our families. Give us guidance and encouragement. And let them know that everything is going to be okay. To me, this is the spirit of America. This is the true spirit of America. This is what America was founded upon. Patriotism and freedom are words we hear many times on the 4th of July. But they must be more than words. They must be concepts. They must be beliefs. And they make stern demands on each of us, very trying demands at times. But individually, as a nation, we have got to continue to have these demands and cope with these demands. They cannot exist or survive with faint hearts, apathy, weariness, indifference, or weakness. We're only as strong as we are strong. And I have great faith in this land of ours. I have great faith in our people. In this land of ours, we're so proud that the individual is important. And it's so important to each of you that you have within yourselves this love of freedom, of country, and of God, or else we will surely fail. The challenge of the 60s is great. The challenge to you and I is great. Freedom is not free. It requires from each of us an interest in our government, an awareness of the dangers which do confront us, and a true expression in the hearts and minds of every American on our little simple creed, in God we trust. The battles that must be fought today are no less than those that have gone on before. And I am confident that we will be equal to the task. For I know that those who have inherited this great tradition of freedom will do no less than those who gave it, that we might have the benefit of it. Thank you.
You have heard Congressman Don Fuquay of Florida's 9th District in a 4th of July address at the Stephen Foster Memorial. This was the highlight of the annual all-day special program on the banks of the Suwannee River at White Springs. This program was tape recorded through facilities of the Stephen Foster Memorial.